I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on a visit to Bath in the ceremonial county of Somerset. The magnificent Wells Cathedral has been the seat of the Bishop of Bath and Wells since the 11th century. It was the Synod of Wells that fixed the feast days of the Anglican calendar. They decided that Easter would fall on the first Sunday following a full moon after the vernal equinox, while Christmas would be 2 weeks after the first time each year that the dustman smiles and says good morning. In 1998, Donald Trump bought a stretch of Somerset coastline intending to develop a luxury country club and golf course there. I just said his name. At the time, a sea defence wall was being built, which gave Trump an idea as he noticed how few illegal Mexicans worked in Minehead. It was on a fashion shoot here that Trump met his third wife, Melania, a model 25 years his junior. People often wonder what this beautiful young woman sees in a man like Trump. Well, it's a combination of things. $4 billion and very high cholesterol. And Bath is home to the Fair Trade Coffee Organisation, the charity that was set up to improve conditions for exploited workers in third world countries. However, last month, a gang broke in and stole the entire stock of high-strength Arabica beans. How do these people sleep at night? And this year, Somerset proudly boasts Britain's best roadside eatery. Situated in a lay-by on the A37 south of Shepton Mallet, the title goes to Jerry's Burger Van, which now has 4 Michelin tyres. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Jeremy Hardy. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Miles Jupp. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the ever delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with a game called Sexed Down Songs. So, teams, I'd like you to suggest sexed down versions of some well-known songs. Barry, you can start.
Do you think I'm 60?
Tim.
You can leave your truss on.
Miles.
I just called to say I love crew.
Jeremy.
It's raining rain.
Can't get you out of my hedge.
You'll never walk again.
Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It Over With.
It's fun to stay at the DVLA.
Purple Stain.
Got to get you into my wife.
I touch my shelf.
What is this thing called, love?
It's time for a musical round now, as I invite the teams to play one song to the tune of another. Well, this round pushes our teams to the very limit of their musical ability, as Jeremy Hardy found out recently when he attempted to sing Roy Orbison's Crying to the tune of Roy Orbison's Crying. That musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Colin recently revealed he could add ELO to his CV. He gave him clove for 11 points. Uh, Okay, we'll start with you, Barry.
Oh.
I'd like you to sing the words of Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols to the tune of A, You're Adorable.
I am an antichrist, I am an anarchist. Don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. I want to destroy the passerby, cos I want to be anarchy. Anarchy for the UK, it's coming sometime. Maybe I give a wrong time. Stop a traffic line, your future dream is a sharpie scheme, cos I want to be anarchy.
That's very... Thank you, Barry. Tim, it's you next. I'd like you to sing the words of The Wheels on the Bus to the tune of the Demis Roussos classic, Forever and Ever.
The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round. All through the town, the wipers on the bus go swish, 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 swish. Oh, swish, swish, swish. The wipers on the bus go swish, swish, swish. All through the town, the horn on the bus goes beep, 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 beep. The horn on the bus goes beep, beep, beep. All through the town, the bell on the bus goes ding, ding, ding.
Thank you, Tim. In case you're interested, Tim Brooke Taylor has been invited back to Bath in January to turn off the Christmas lights. Your turn, Miles, and I'd like you to sing the words of The Laughing Policeman to the tune of Harry Nilsson's Without You.
I know a fat old policeman, he is always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman, he's never known to frown. And everybody says he's the happiest man in town. He laughs upon point duty, he laughs upon his beat, he laughs at everybody. When he's walking in the street, he never can stop laughing. He says he's never tried. But once he did arrest a man and laughed until he cried. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha,
ha, ha, ha, ha, ha. By the way, if anyone would like to take home a stray dog, there will be... had a few at stage door by now. And finally, Jeremy. All right, that was a bit sarcastic. Jeremy, I'd like you to sing the words of Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot to the tune of Bob Dylan's Make You Feel My Love.
Like big butts and I cannot lie. You as a brothers cannot deny that when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung, want to pull up tight, cause you notice that that butt was stuck deep in the jeans she's wearing, I am hooked. And I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I want to get richer and to take your pictures. My homeboy tried to warn me, but that butt you got makes me so horny.
Thank you, Jeremy Hardy. Well, the next game is called Word for Word, and it's all about words. The Vasu, a warlike tribe from Samoa, have no word for welcome. It's an idea they got from the Gloucester Tourist Board. In this game, each team should attempt to exchange unrelated words while the opposing team tries to spot a connection. Tim and Miles, you can start exchanging your words, while Barry and Jeremy, you should challenge to take over play if you think you've spotted a connection. Off you go, Tim and Miles.
Camel.
Trousers.
Crumpet.
Jacuzzi.
Cokes.
Flan.
Barry.
Well, I've got a personal involvement in this. I was once coaxed into a jacuzzi. I don't want to go into details, but I loved it.
I should imagine they didn't...
Did you manage to get it working?
Yes. What, the jacuzzi?
Well, fair enough. I mean, it's a personal anecdote.
Thank you, Jack.
It has resonance for you, so there was a connection there. Unfortunately, I have to hand it over to Jeremy and Barry.
Allergy.
Balcony.
Bucolic.
Eczema.
Exacerbate.
Perch.
Miles?
Well, eczema is something that you can exacerbate.
No, it's not. It's a place in Devon.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, I think fair enough if you said Exmoor instead of Exmoor. I'm not entirely sure. still with Jeremy and Barry.
Oh. Indicate.
Linoleum.
Miles has challenged again, Miles.
Well, if you go into a linoleum shop and they say, which lino do you want? You go, well, I'd like that one. You'd indicate, wouldn't you?
You got us there.
Fair enough, there is
Do you get out much, Miles?
There's a connection there, so over to Miles and Tim.
Beaver.
Quadruple.
Slot.
Caustic. Oh.
Barry.
The jacuzzi, I was coaxed. I was coaxed into, had a quadruple slot. In case of emergencies.
Well... There's a connection you found there, so
yes,
thank you, Jack. I'll let you have that, Barry. So over to Barry and Jeremy.
Indigo.
Forest.
Mellifluous. Oh, what?
Tim.
Is that what they said to you when you went to the jacuzzi? Indigo.
So it was you in the steam, was it?
Connection has been made there.
I own up to that, yeah.
Yeah, so over to Miles and Tim.
Marsupial.
Dolt.
Buttock.
Burst.
What? Barry has challenged you there.
Yes.
Barry,
what was
I can't wait to know why.
Another painful jacuzzi memory.
Okay, well, I'll let you have that, Barry. So it's Barry and Jeremy.
Chair.
Table. No, surely not.
Miles. Miles. Yeah,
no, if you give me, I think there is a connection between chair and table. They're both furniture, in a way. In a way.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a bit tangential.
Fair enough. Buzz withdrawn.
There's no need to be pedantic about it. Okay. We're just having fun. It's a game, all right?
Messiah.
What?
Messiah.
Repetition.
Oh, and the sound of that gong reminds us all that I've just discovered a way to finish that game. Okay, well, our next round is all about titles, called Trail of the Lonesome Pun. A poor choice of title can spell doom for any creative project. Witness the very poor take-up among psychoanalysts of Sigmund Freud's first published paper on the Oedipus complex. You ain't half hot, mum. Now, the people whose job it is to come up with ideas for radio and TV shows can be remarkably lazy with their program titles, so I'll ask the teams to share examples of programs where the content has been contrived to suit what someone thought would make a clever title. Mars, you could start, maybe.
Coming up after the break, a light-hearted look at civil rights activist Martin Luther King's penchant for coarse fishing. That's I Have a Bream.
Barry. Coming up on BBC One, Bill Oddie encourages homeowners to turf over their backyards in an attempt to lure an increasingly rare garden songbird back to the UK. That's sod that for a lark.
Tim.
And now on BBC Two, expect strong language and scenes of a sexual nature as we follow the arrests of several prominent members of the Bath Allotments Association following eyewitness reports of wife-swapping parties. That's people who work in glass houses shouldn't throw orgies.
Jeremy?
And tomorrow morning, a new programme in which antiques enthusiasts try to come up with rhyming slang names for Tim Wannacott. That's Bargain Hunt. 12:15.
Coming up on Radio 4, a heartwarming documentary showing how self-medication and an understanding of their condition provided invaluable relief for constipated Bible scholars. That's Know Thine Enema.
Later on BBC One, a dramatisation of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's lost novel in which his detective hero is beaten to death. That's Holmes Under the Hammer at 9 o'clock. And later on, old ladies show their tattoos to Kevin MacLeod in Grand Designs.
Well, it's time for a musical game called Name That Joke. Comedy theorists claim that there are six basic joke forms, which will come as a surprise to anyone who's seen Barry's act. Barry, come back. Have some of you got livestock in here? In this round, Colin will play a series of musical clues which fit together to form a well-known joke, and the teams must try to identify each clue in turn. The team which correctly identifies the joke first wins. Okay, so fingers on buzzers, teams. Colin, can we please have the first musical clue for the first joke, please?
Is it?
I'm not sure what that is.
Is that Alice's restaurant?
Oh.
A restaurant.
It was Alice's restaurant.
Okay, there's a man talking to his mate, and his mate says, have you got any special plans for your anniversary? The man says, ah, yes. Now, I've got a special surprise for the wife. Because a few months ago, we walked past this restaurant, and she looked in and she said, oh, that really does look like a lovely restaurant. So, as a special surprise, I'm going to walk her past it again.
Barry?
Old Chinese restaurant, and a man called a waiter. He said, this chicken's rubbery. He said, thank you very much, sir.
Miles.
The other evening, my wife and I, we were sitting in a restaurant drinking wine, and she suddenly said, I love you. And I said, is that you or the wine talking? And she said, it was me talking to the wine.
Okay, well, none of those are the joke we're aiming for. Maybe we should have the next clue, please. Colin?
Oh, go on.
Yeah, Barry?
Wind Beneath My Wings?
Yes, it was.
Well, that's birds and parrots, isn't it? I would think.
Looks like it's going to be, yeah.
Man's parrot kept swearing a lot, and he said to his mate, "It's driving me mad, this parrot swearing all the time." He said, "Stick him in the fridge for 5 minutes, he'll get the message." So he said to the parrot, "Are you going to stop swearing?" And the parrot said, "Why don't you?" He said, "No, get in the fridge." Closed the door, timed him 5 minutes, took the parrot out. "You're going to stop swearing?" And the parrot said, "All right." The parrot looked back in the fridge and said, "What did that chicken do?"
I think it might be a wind joke, is it? There's a woman goes to see a pharmacist and she says, "This is very, very embarrassing. I've got terrible flatulence. In fact, it's actually happening now. I mean, the thing is, it's odourless and silent, but it's very, very uncomfortable." And the pharmacist says, "Okay, I'd like you to take two of these tablets 3 times a day. Come back to see me in a week." After a week, she goes back. And he says, "Any progress?" She says, "Oh, no, if anything, I mean, it's worse. I mean, now they've started to really, really stink." He says, "Right. That's your sense of smell sorted out. Now let's work on your hearing."
Any others on that? We haven't got to the joke that I was hoping we'd find.
Oh, you know.
Barry must know it.
No, I'm phased here.
You see, I took my wife to a restaurant. This is the answer to the none of you got. I took my wife to a restaurant the other night, and during the main course, I realised I desperately needed to break wind, and the music was quite loud, so I timed my reliefs to the beat of the music. After just a few songs, I started to feel better, and I finished my coffee and noticed that the whole restaurant was staring at me. And that's when I remembered I was listening to my iPod.
You'll win that round, Jack. You'll win that.
Well, let's have another round of that. I think we'll go for another joke, please. Colin, give us a clue, would you? Barry.
Goodness gracious me.
Yep.
Doctor, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the doctor's and he told me, he said, "Take your clothes off." I said, "OK, where shall I put them?" He said, "Over there on top of mine."
You imagine when he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, "What's the problem?" He goes, "I've got a bit of lettuce sticking out of my backside." The doctor says, "You mustn't worry, that's just the tip of the iceberg."
Do you put a dressing on it?
Excellent. No, that's not the joke that we're aiming for. It's not the answer.
No.
So another musical clue, please, Colin.
Oh, okay. That's the funeral march. Yeah. Okay, so there's a funeral parlour, and a woman goes the night before her husband's funeral. She goes down to see her husband for the last time. It's all nicely laid out in the coffin. She goes down with the funeral director, and he says, "What do you think, madam?" And she says, "Oh, no, oh, gosh, you've put him in a blue suit." And he says, "Is that a problem?" He says, "Well, he hated blue, and we've given all his other suits away to charity. I don't know what to do." The undertaker says, "Look, leave it with me. I'll try and sort it out. The funeral is in the morning, but I'll see if we can sort it out." And she pops back in before the funeral in the morning. She says, "Were you able to sort it out?" And he says, "Well, bizarrely, you're not going to believe this, but another lady came in to see her husband, and he was in a grey suit, and she said, 'Oh, no, my husband loved blue suits.' So all we had to do was swap the heads."
Barry.
On the sad subject of mortality, there's an old guy staggering home from the pub, and he slumped on a bench, and he looked up, and there was a figure wearing a black cowl carrying a scythe. And the old boy said, "Who are you?" And the figure leaned in and said, "I am death." And the old boy said, "I said, who are you?"
Tim.
There are two men playing golf. One of them is about to take his swing when a funeral procession appears on the road next to the course. He stops mid-swing, takes off his cap, closes his eyes, bows his head in contemplation. His opponent comments, "That must be the most touching thing I've ever seen. You must be a sensitive man." The man replies, "Yeah, well, we were married 35 years.
uh, there's this man who's at a funeral, and during the service, he suddenly asks the vicar for the Wi-Fi code. And the vicar said, "Please have some respect for your poor dead mother." And the man says, "Is that all lowercase?"
Actually, none of you have come up with the joke that we were after. Do you know it, Barry?
No.
You know? Is it about mortality? And
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Man goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, I've got very, very bad news. I'm afraid your condition is terminal. And the man says, oh, no, how long have I got? He says, 10. He says, what, months, weeks? 9, 8, 7, 6.
That was the winning joke. Well done, Jeremy. Okay. It's very nearly the end of the show, but there's just time to fit in a quick round of Bathroom Film Club. Samantha informs me she loves to spend time relaxing in the bathroom, and she recently shared her formula for the perfect bath. Apparently it's all down to the water's depth, temperature and mineral content. Samantha says she likes it 12 inches hot and hard. That's like a single entendre, isn't it? Teams, I'd like you to suggest film titles likely to prove popular in the bathroom. Jeremy, you can start.
Remains of the B-Day.
Barry.
Never Shave Nether Again.
Tim.
Inglorious Bath Turds.
Miles.
Bade Das Boot.
The Armitage Shanks Redemption.
Monster Sink.
Winnie the Pooh.
Scum.
Stopcock and two soaking flannels.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Rim.
Lav, actually.
Bring me the head and shoulders of Alfredo Garcia.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the callous cold caller of calamity harasses the huffy housewife of humanity and the landline of lucidity is launched lustily towards the dustbin of destiny, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the teams, Samantha and myself, and our audience here in Bath, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Miles Jupp, Timbrook Taylor and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.